Hello, hi.
Hi guys, I was just sharing how I was putting on some color in our camera here because I thought that you would be like, Beth, are you okay? Are you gonna pass out? And I'm okay, better now.
My melanin flushed her out.
Melanin. I thought you were about to say melatonin.
I almost did, and I'm like,
that's
wait,
different. Hi, gals. Hi, Anne. Hi, Olivia.
Hello.
Hi, Cheryl. Renee, thank you. You're talking about my lips or my dress? Because Steph and I were just talking about my dress because I did this app. I got very into, or I'm still kind of into, color theory. Love it. I haven't like officially had it done. I found this free app that will like scan your face and tell you what your best colors are. Mine's blue, so I try to wear that.
I love Beth in blue, but I also love you in green.
Not one of my colors.
I know. She doesn't. Every time I'm like, that dress, your eyes.
It's my eyes. That's different. Yeah. Thanks, Renee. Hi, Erin.
Which is a whole thing.
Erin's been praying for you.
I very self-consciously wore a red sweater on Friday. And so many people were like, that's your color. And I'm like, as a dark person, I never thought that I could pull off wearing red.
Excuse me. Wow. Okay, let's do your, we'll get you the app and we'll get you the free thing. The thing about it is you, like, can't have makeup on. You have to, like, stand in the sun. Mm-hmm. So, like, you're actually getting what you look like, not, like, how you're, like, you know, lightened up.
Totally.
Anyway, hi, Susie. Susie was praying for you this morning. I saw you. Where did I see you? On the rosary. I was praying
for you. Hi, Emily. Hi, Lexi.
I pray for you guys a lot. That's the truth of the matter.
That's one thing about Beth.
Hi, Emily.
She's going to pray for you.
Hi. Is that the one thing about me? Steph, how are you? I just saw you 12 hours ago.
I know. I'm still maybe, I said one yesterday at some point, I was like, guys, I'm just asleep with my eyes open. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Monday nights are late nights, but they are so sweet. Did you notice? So we host the BIS Phoenix nights, now known as TEND. And we had a tend night last night where we made vision boards. Are you joking? I got that from Steph. I say that all the time.
Beth, you blew my mind with the scripture of like,
isn't that such a good scripture?
I'm like, what? Where has this been?
Yeah, honestly? Yeah. Because people hate on vision boards. They're like, oh, it's like manifesting. And sure, like people use it for that. But the Bible talks about how imperative it is that we, the people of God, live with vision.
Let them know, Beth.
And Father Parks, he said this, like, amazing thing, really set me free. He actually talked about vision boards in his homily in the second Sunday of Advent. He said, we think in images. So we need to have a picture of who we want to be, of the life that we're called to live. We need to have that in our minds. We need to set it before us so that when we're in a valley, and everything seems too big and overwhelming and we don't know where to go, we're up close looking at everything, we need to have that peak vision, that perspective to look down and out to know what we're living for and which way we're going. It's so orienting to have that picture, yes. You know?
I was listening to a talk on my way there by one of the sisters of life.
What?
I know. And she was talking about how we are so nervous or maybe just put off by telling God our desires, like what we actually want.
This is huge.
And like, why is
this with Sister Mary Grace,
important? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why it's so important to still dream and to tell Jesus about those dreams. Like, I think there was one point where she was like, I heard Jesus say, like, I want that too for you.
Whoa.
And I'm like, yeah, guys, we need to keep having dreams and hopes and giving them to the Lord, even if a past dream or hope has not gone our way.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh, there's so much here. Mm-hmm. There's so much about disappointment and hope as a virtue, perseverance, expecting good things, believing God. The relationship between faith and hope, like faith in hope, is so interesting. Can I share that scripture with you guys?
Yes, please.
Just in case you're curious. Oh, sure we can. Hi, is that better? Can you hear us better? That was very jarring for me. I don't know why I'm so jumpy today. Okay,
This scripture about vision that I am obsessed with is from Habakkuk, little known prophet, minor prophet in the Old Testament. I do not have tabs on this Bible. Solidarity, Jenna. So I don't even know where it is. Keep going. Past Kings, Past Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Tobit, Maccabees. It's very close to the end of the Old Testament. Job. Keep going. Psalm. Keep going. I'm way off. Sirach, okay. Isaiah. I'm getting there.
You're giving them time to pull up their Bible.
Yeah, that's what I want you to get your Bibles today. You're going to need your Bible for what we're doing today. Okay, I got a lot going on. I need this. Thank the Lord that we have multiple ribbons, okay?
I love that about our Bible.
I need a ribbon for what we're going to talk about today. There we go, ribbon one. And now, here we go, Malachi, nope. Zechariah, nope. Zephaniah, Haggai, Habakkuk, found it. That was backwards. Don't listen to that order. It's actually 2 and 3. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. For then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. So good. So good. We have to write it out. Some of you said, like, I think more in words than images. I understand more words than images. And I've had that experience too. The Lord will just say a single word, but the depth and the richness, the like fullness of that word, I could use 1,000 words and I still wouldn't capture what I understood from that single word. So I think words on a vision board is the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love it. It's funny. I noticed yesterday as I was starting my vision board is that I was cutting out mainly words.
Interesting.
And I'm like, let me put some pictures here. And so I like thought I had to be a little more intentional about trying to find images. Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm a words person. My husband is not. He will have like a whole like scene from a movie in his mind.
So cool.
And it's really cool that like you guys are saying, like I'm more of a word. I'm more of a vision or an image person.
Yeah.
I love when we get to share our perspective because we catch things that we didn't even think of until someone else, you know, shares. Like this time around when you read it, a point of time just was like beaming out at me. Yeah. And yesterday it was different. And I'm like,
wow. Yeah. Okay, let's read it again. Let's practice listening to God's word with the help of the Holy Spirit and let him highlight something. And I want you to share that in the comments. So really listen and pray with this. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Amen. Honestly, every word. So I'm having a little trouble. So good. Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3. This is not what we're talking about today, technically. But we are talking about the word, so I think this is good practice to like get in the word, listen to the word, allow the Holy Spirit to unpack the word. Was it still appointed time?
No. No, it was surely.
Surely.
He's just a promise guy to me right now, you know?
Do you remember that? Do you remember that song, Steph?
The song?
Yeah, that song is... I think it's a desert song. As surely as the sun will rise.
Crying. I want to cry.
You'll come to us. Oh, wow. Certain as the word endures, you'll come. Let your glory fall as you respond to us. I got to stop. Whoa, I'm going to keep going. But listen, every time. Yes. But every time, because that recording is like so written on my heart, you know how sometimes worship leaders like prompt, like what's the next thing that we're going to sing? Yeah, yeah. She would always be like, surely, as surely. I'm always singing surely. And like there, I remember there were like all these like funny skits of like, who's surely, you know?
Like Shirley.
Shirley, when
Shirley
she comes in.
Shirley is the sun will rise.
Shirley.
No, it's surely. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, you'll come. Thank you, Jenna. It's not the desert song.
No,
thank
no.
you. Thank you.
The desert song is.
That song is bananas. You'll come is bananas good.
Mm-hmm. I prayed with it for a few months, a couple months back, and it was just like, yeah, I'm just like in his promise.
That is so crazy. Mm-hmm. That's actually quoting Isaiah. Like, those aren't just made up, like, feel good words. She's singing, she's declaring the words of the prophet Isaiah. But interesting that the theme is the same. As surely as the sun will rise, you'll come to us. Certain as your word endures, like, you're coming. Mm-hmm. You will come. You will bring the vision to a fulfillment.
Amen.
Agree. 18:19.
That's
so good.
I'm blaming you all for making me be obedient after hearing come to the desert. So I bought my ticket to go to retreat.
Praise God.
And I'm literally going to the desert.
Can't wait to see you.
Yeah, that's total desert vibe. Belen, I have your voice over this song in my head.
Belen, those first words, I mean, this is like a declaration. That song to me is like going to war with worship. Mm-hmm. I just was listening to this podcast this morning, Worship is My Weapon. What a cool name. How real is that?
Yeah.
Worship is My Weapon.
Yeah.
And like every time I start singing that song, I have decided, I have resolved to wait upon you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I have chills all over my body.
Yeah, it's wild.
So good. That song is anointed. Mm-hmm. Of course it is, because it's just declaring scripture. I think we all need that today. Mm-hmm. We need to align with the word of God, which is to align with heaven. Let's do that today.
I want to align with heaven.
Hilda, you're feeling it. Amen. Love this.
Renee.
Love this. Renee, come on. Renee, cool thing, little known fact. In maybe the wider Blessed Is She sisterhood, that this coming retreat, May 31st and June 1st, so our next drawn retreat, on Friday during the day, Megan Helms and I are offering a pre-retreat. So during the day on Friday, before the drawn retreat begins, May 31st, we're offering a pre-retreat exclusive to women who have done the well. And you're in the well right now, so you could come to that pre-retreat, hang with us during the day, have a little... have actually a very beautiful retreat with like your well sisters, the well community. And then we go into the drawn retreat together, but that's only happening with the May 31st retreat.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Gloria, speakers for the retreat are on the website. You can just go to, I think it's blessedisshe.net/drawn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then just scroll down.
Oh, awesome. Susie, I'll see you at the pre-retreat. Yeah. I mean, like, Gloria's done the well. Rhonda's done the well. Lexi's done the well. Susie's done the well. Heidi's in the well. Erin's done the well. Erin, come on.
Heidi's coming to October retreat.
Wow, that's awesome.
Erin, in Jesus' name, we'll get you a passport.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Patty, you're coming?
Guys, I love this so much.
Wow.
Why are you guys coming on retreat?
Tell everyone.
Where am I typing?
So, Yvette. Steph is dropping the link here, blessedisshe.net/drawn. That's the info. Mm-hmm. We have two more drawn retreats happening May 31st and June 1st is our summer retreat. Also, May 31st is the Feast of the Visitation, which is like where we find our name in God's word. Blessed is she who believed that what was promised to her by the Lord would be fulfilled. Luke 1:45. That's happens in the context of the visitation. And that retreat is happening on the visitation. What?
Something big.
May 31st, June 1st. And that alone is the retreat where the well pre-retreat is happening for anyone who's done the well. And then the other one is October 4th and 5th, our fall retreat. Gosh, we haven't had a fall retreat in a minute.
I love the fall vibes. Nicole on Facebook asked, is the podcast called Worship is My Weapon?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I've listened to half of one podcast, so I'm not sure I could wholeheartedly recommend it.
Got it.
But I was mostly sharing, I thought the name was really powerful.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, can you still see us and hear us? That is bizarro over on YouTube and Facebook. This is your sign to join us on the app. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Why is it not?
No idea, because there we are in the little preview. Oh, Andrea, I wish you could too. Gloria, just scroll all the way down, or maybe you have to click on each one, but I know for certain the speakers are there. Serena, you're getting married on May 31st.
Wow.
We will be praying for you. I'll be offering for you. Praise God. That is so beautiful. See, it's an anointed day. It's the day of your wedding. Praise wow. God. We'll all be praying.
For all of my peeps who can't make it in yeah. person, yeah. we do offer our virtual retreat as yes. an option so that you can choose a Saturday yeah. or whatever day to just take a personal retreat day, go over all the sessions. You'll have some like reflection questions afterwards. You'll have our live streamed adoration. So you mm-hmm. won't miss out. You'll be able to take some time to retreat on your own time. Yeah. And so that is on our landing page as well for retreat. It's called the Drawn Virtual Retreat. And you can, again, you don't lose access to it, so you don't have to complete it by a certain time. Right. You can keep going back to the sessions as I have. Mm-hmm. So I encourage you. And even if you did attend or will attend, it's always great to be able to go back to those talks.
Oh gosh, Erin, that I know you did the retreat. It was so beautiful to walk through that live stream with you. Andrea, did you do the drawn one or a previous one? Olivia, that's so awesome. Olivia, one day I want you and your mom to come to a retreat together. Ooh. I'd love to see you gals. Cheryl, Phoenix Sky Harbor, the friendliest airport in America. Wow. It's honestly one of my favorite places to be in the state of Arizona. I just love our airport. I come a lot at the airport. I just love it. Oh, good, Rhonda. Yes, Rhonda did virtual and is mm-hmm. coming. Yeah. One day, Olivia, can't wait.
Annette, you can buy access afterwards. You can. It's its own separate purchase.
I think it's at a discount too. Did we talk about that?
I think it's only at a discount for a certain time after retreat. That okay. might be regular price now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure we'll do that for those of yeah. you who come to later retreats, that you can kind of add the virtual so you have the talks. Yeah. Yesenia, what? Fun. We would love to see you in the fall. Okay, wow. Well, this is fun.
This is fun.
Okay, any other questions, thoughts, retreat comments, vision board visions? How did your vision board come out? I feel like I didn't see it.
Oh, I did it. Wait, okay.
Oh, I can show you mine.
I'm not a crafty gal. So I'm just like, I'll do it for the sake of like being in community and doing it. Our discussion during the time was just so great. But then I look up and my table is the last table. We're still
you
working
guys,
on
honestly,
our.
You guys, the gals at your table were there. I'm literally sweeping around their feet as they're continuing to
everything
cut.
Is put up.
Yeah.
Tables are being rolled back.
Yep. I think every table was gone. It was great. That table. And they were in it, which I loved.
To win it.
I feel the same way about vision boarding. I yeah. just love it so much. Okay. Can I share mine?
Please.
Do you guys want to see it?
I love that you have it on your phone.
Well, I took a picture of it this morning because I'm keeping the vision before me. Ooh. And here's the thing that I love about vision boards. I think it's a prophetic prayer practice. Because do I know what all of this means? Am I manifesting? No, but I believe like God is in my desires and as I'm praying, he's like the Holy Spirit is highlighting images or feelings. Anyway, so here's my vision board. Oh, darn it. Can you see it? Not really.
No.
I hate that happens.
You can share it. On the thread.
Oh, that's
when
a good idea. Can you share pictures in the chat? No.
Yeah. No, not here. Live. No. When I
excuse me, Sarah Keller. What friend? I love that you're here. Hi, I love you. I was just praying for Evelyn. Her oldest is my goddaughter. Just praying for Evelyn yesterday.
So sweet.
Oh, a vision board is just a way of putting like words and images. Again, like you're partnering with God to flesh out, to illustrate a vision that you have for him. If you want to live your life in a certain way, you want more beauty, you want to take better care of your body, to be stronger, if you want to be a person of service, you would like find images, words, phrases that that help you to keep that vision before you. It's not about dreaming necessarily, or like, it's different than goal setting. Yeah. It's, Yasenia, it totally, my friend Caroline, she will make like what she calls a prayer mood board.
And I love them.
Yeah. Aubrey does a lot of them like on the BIS Instagram, mm-hmm. like different collages that kind of capture a theme, mm-hmm. a vision, a vibe, if you will. So for me, Sarah, I'm dying by your comment. For me, like I immediately was attracted to this image of a girl walking along a beach. That's what's at the center of my vision board. But the water was like so washed up and like the sand was like glistening that it looks like she's walking on water.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? That's I'm going to show it to you. So
what?
I actually thought she was walking on water and I was like, that's kind of nuts. And then later I realized, oh, this is sand. She's walking like parallel to the water.
Yeah.
But I did this, I had this chat like this, like, I did this live where I like shared some of my testimony, like some of what God's done in my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I get tired of my own story. Like I'm unimpressed by my own, like what God's done in my life, because it's so familiar to me. And I was sharing how when Jenna invited me to go full time with Blessed Is She to leave youth ministry after 11 years, Jenna said to me, "You talk to Jesus, I'll talk to the bookkeeper." And I drove from that phone call. I was talking to her in my mobile office. I drove to the chapel and I went in and I like brought this question, this desire. I immediately had an image of myself in the boat on this perfectly, I mean, very similar to actually this like sky, this like beautiful, brilliant, blue, gentle, like clear skies. You know what I mean? Smooth sailing. And I saw myself in the boat and I saw Jesus standing on the water. And without any hesitation and with tremendous joy, I ran on the water to Jesus and I mm-hmm. saw him throw his head back laughing. And so for me, that was like such an easy yes. But anyway, again, I like the Lord is so generous with me. I have like many images and I'm in a totally different place in prayer mm-hmm. 8 years later, you know, 7 years later. So to share that and to hear that resonate with people, and for them, there's like a, there's a multiplication of grace. I think when we share what God has done, like people are telling me, mm-hmm. like, I needed that image. I saw myself in that image. So anyway, to remember that, and then to see this image in a magazine last night, I was like, oh yeah, like this is what I do. I walk on mm-hmm. water with the Lord. Like, this is who I am.
This is what I do.
Yeah. I had a woman pray over me, and again, this was right before I started Blessed Is She. She did not know about that image, and she said to me, "Beth, you're a water walker."
Isn't that cool?
Wow. You're a water walker. I have chills. I, like, don't often think about that, but telling that story mm-hmm. was such a gift to me because it brought it up again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm a water walker. So I put that, like, at the center of my vision board to remind me that this is how I live. This is who I am. Mm. I walk on the water with Jesus, you know?
Wow. Yeah, I love that. I also, I would encourage you if maybe like this seems like not something that you can do, or you think it has to be like extravagant. Like if you are journaling, you can do this on a page in your journal and keep it connected to like how you've been journaling these past couple days, so weeks, good. Months.
Yeah.
And then the best part is always going back to it. And seeing like, wow, Lord, I was there with you in that moment, in that season.
You guys, I wish you could see this.
We'll see it. I mean, I just want, wish I'm gonna put it in her vision board. It's very,
I'm gonna put it in the app. I kind of zoomed, hoping you could see it, but you can't really. I mean, I guess you kind of can. Anyway.
All right, pals. It's that time.
It's that time. We are moving it, moving the convo over. We're getting into it. We are getting into, I am like obsessed with what we're going to talk about today.
Me too.
Because it's changed my life.
Yeah.
Like not just recently, it changed my life as a youth minister. Mm-hmm. This practice was with me in youth ministry like 15 years ago. We're going to talk about having the best Mass ever. We're going to talk about how to get more out of the Mass, how to engage with the scripture at Mass, that probably sounds, I don't feel like I'm doing a good job of selling it, but this practice is so nuclear. It will not only change your mass, it'll change your life. It'll change your week.
Totally. Totally.
It will change your prayer.
Come on.
Which is everything. It will change everything. So come on over to the Blessed Is She app. That's where we're having the rest of the convo. We're really getting into it, getting into the word together today. So if you're on Facebook or YouTube, join us on the Blessed Is She app. We'll see you in a minute. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was fun. I mean, I didn't really see us going this way, but it does all come around, doesn't it? It's all connected.
Rhonda said, woohoo, mass.
Girl. Steph, tell the people. Tell the people.
I learned that I needed to actively participate to fall in love with the mass. Instead of just sitting there and thinking like,
like surviving, especially with little kids. Like,
even before kids, I was just like, I'm just checking off my boxes. No mortal sins here. Like, I'm going to mass. But, oh my God. Well, okay. I'm just like a Book of Revelation person. So, like, it's just, come on. Like, we get to be in the same realm as the angels and the saints at the same sacrifice with our Lord Jesus.
Heaven and earth.
What? And we get to do that even when a toddler is pulling your hair or needs to go potty, or even when you feel like you don't belong there because you're this sinner and you have all of this shame over you, or you're just not feeling it, Lord, I'm tired. Like, all of that still happens whether we are feeling it or ready or whatever. And I just love that we have the like access to that. It's just wild. It's like the craziest experience.
The thing about the mass is the thing about the Eucharist. The character of it is that it's hidden in plain sight. Only the Lord can lift the veil to show you what's actually happening in the mass. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we could miss it. I used to always use this analogy when I was like teaching students about just the riches of the faith, particularly the sacraments, that they're like the most beautifully wrapped gift under the most beautifully decorated Christmas tree. And looking at it alone is like to appreciate it and receive it. Mm-hmm. But so many Catholics never actually unwrap the gift and see what's inside. Like the gift wrapping is, to mix metaphors, the icing on the cake. Mm-hmm. The actual gift is within, but so many of us settle for the wrapping, which is stunning, you know? Honestly, until we get used to the wrapping and then we're like, oh, there's the Christmas tree, there's the gifts. It never even occurs to us that we can unwrap. And the Lord lifts that veil so that we can actually see and receive the gift of the Mass, the gift of the Eucharist, the gift of Jesus in the Eucharist.
I think it's a total grace, though. Like, I am not able to understand, accept, participate in any of that without, like, the Lord inviting me into it and equipping me to be there. Like, the Mass, the sacrifice, even the Eucharist, like, this is all, like, a great mystery that we're never going to fully comprehend. And so the fact that like I now have this desire to be there, despite all of the other circumstances or things that are happening, like that's a total grace that I only receive through God's abundance for
this.
Yeah. So.
So we're going to zoom in on something in the Mass. It's a practice that we have as a Blessed Is She staff that I want to invite you into. Honestly, with a friend, like via text, with a small group, but we prepare. That's not even the primary reason. We just do it because we love God's word and we want to pray in union with the church. Mm-hmm. So every Thursday, we have a staff Bible study where we pray with the gospel for the upcoming Sunday Mass. You want to say more? I could get on a soapbox, you know?
Yeah, it's just.
Just explain what it is that we do. Would you please?
We get into a small group, which it's a virtual meeting because half of us are here and the other half are everywhere else.
Yeah.
And so we just dedicate an hour. It's usually not just an hour. It's usually a little longer.
Yeah.
And we read the gospel once through. We sit in silence and just ask the Lord. Like, we're just sitting with the word.
We're just praying.
We're literally just in his presence at that moment. And then we take some time to share a takeaway. What I love personally is that, like, there's commentary that, like, you'll bring up or that Mike will bring up, so that it gives us more context of the gospel. Not something we could do during Mass on a Sunday.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But I love being able to break it open even a little bit further. And then after that, we're all sharing our takeaways. We're bouncing off of what each other has shared at that moment. It's starting to resonate with us. And we're just sitting there lingering in that.
It's interesting, too, like, how the Lord connects different things that we're praying about. And, like, Steph will share something that helps me understand more deeply why I'm attracted to that and what that means. But always, like, to apply the word to our lives.
Yes.
It's not primarily, in fact, I usually have to, like, really refrain from looking at a commentary first, because I don't want that to inform my meditation.
Right.
I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me about his word. I want the Holy Spirit to give me understanding and apply it to my life. And then if there's more, like, if I have a question, like, what is this? For example, I was so, this past Sunday, I'm going to grab a Bible. This past Sunday, I was like, this is so interesting. We're in the Gospel of John, and James is not it. We're in the Gospel of John, and the way that John writes about Jesus cleansing the temple is different than all of the other Gospels, right? He puts this scene at the beginning of the Gospel. Whereas in the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, it comes later in Jesus's ministry, like really toward the end, right before Holy Week. But in John's Gospel, this was the thing that I like didn't understand. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, doves, and money changers seated at their table. And I was like, where in the temple? Like, everything matters. And so I read about how the money changers, the marketplace, was set up in the outer court, which was reserved for the worship for the Gentiles. So this is the one place on Temple Mount, like in the temple, where the Gentiles could come and worship. And greedy Jews, greedy Pharisees, greedy vendors had built it into a marketplace. Now there's no place for the Gentiles to worship. The right order, the right use of that space was for worship, and instead it had become a place of consumerism and greed.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I feel like every week it just blows our mind. And I love seeing like, oh, we do this at our women's ministry. Our
so
CIA
cool, Cheryl.
This.
Yeah.
I try to journal before I hear anyone else speak about it.
Yes.
Gloria said, let's do that here on the app. Then we can pray with it during the week. So that is one of the things that I love about breaking open the gospel for Sunday before Sunday's Mass is that I get to sit with it for days. There's days before and even days after where I'm like, Lord, like, I see how this is just so part of what's going on in my life right now. It's not a coincidence that you have this. Even we talked about that for this past Sunday's gospel. Like, it's not a coincidence that this reading is coming up now. The church and all of its wisdom is like appointing certain scriptures to a certain season. And so I love the way it aligns with my personal life when I'm reading it and I see it. I'm like, oh Lord, this is how it's applying to me this week. Yeah. This is how you want me to walk with that word in these next couple days.
Yeah.
So I love getting to sit with it longer than whatever I got to hear at Mass that Sunday, because chances are it's like this much.
It does. It's like it expands. So we do Bible study on Thursdays. I'm thinking about it, praying with it throughout the weekend. But honestly, like, this last one was such a deep word for me. This John 2, Jesus cleanses the temple. I've never been into that gospel. I've never like resonated with it. Anyway, I know, big surprise. But I'm like, I'm still praying about it. And this was last Sunday's gospel. And it's not because of the homily. It's not because of what someone else told me about the gospel. It's because of what Jesus is revealing to me through prayer about his own word. Those other things, like our scaffolding, they help us. But my primary reflection is not other people's prayer. It's my prayer. Does that make sense?
Total sense.
It, like, held in the church, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going rogue, but I'm letting the Lord have the first word, you know?
Let the Lord have the first word.
Yeah.
Over your whole life.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious, what does that look like for you? A typical getting ready for Mass on Sunday. Like, what are the steps that you found helpful to do that? Top one, reading the gospel.
Yeah. I was like, where are you going with this? Because I don't have a good get ready for Mass.
You know, get ready with meeting the Mass.
I don't even have little kids to get ready. And I'm like a little kid trying to get ready for Mass. I'm like, late, where's my shoes? You know?
Yeah, I realized that reading the gospel before Sunday Mass has even made me less grumpy about my situation.
Wow.
Because I don't miss out on anything. Like, you guys hear me. I have four kids. They're young. That's okay. It's fine. It's Mass. It's going to happen. They're kids.
Yeah.
But I'm not missing. I get the Eucharist and I get the word. What, you know, what, I don't hear the homily, like, okay, like, I'll YouTube a homily if I really wanted to hear some commentary, know? But, like, I feel then that I'm going there knowing what to expect, knowing that I know these readings, the Lord is speaking to me through them these past couple of days, and will continue to, and then I get to receive the Eucharist. And so now, changing that mindset of, like, oh, this is going to be a disaster, I don't want anyone to think my kids are crazy and like they're just off the walls and I gotta look down and hide. Like, I go in now with a different mentality of, like, I've done the prep. The prep isn't like laying out the I mean, I'm more power to you if you're laying out clothes ahead of time.
Yes.
We don't do that.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not talking about that kind of work. I'm talking about reading the scripture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doing a quick examination of our conscience, preparing ourselves to, like, when the gifts are being offered, like, what is my offering this
week?
Yeah. Thinking about these things, going up to communion, not looking around, looking at the crucifix, looking at the ciborium in front of me, looking at the Lord when he's being handed over to me. Like, changing those things have helped me so much. Still love the Mass. And maybe I'll talk aside from kids, because there are times where I've gone to Mass by myself.
Oh, yeah.
And still I'm just like, Lord, this is just work. Like, this is kind of difficult for
me. The distraction exists, whether you have children or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think setting ourselves up in that way of, like, knowing what we're going to, knowing who we're going to see helps so much.
It's just all of these examples you're giving are just these little change in your attention, your literally, like, where you're looking. You're just, like, reminding yourself to pay attention to what's right in front of you. If the gifts are being prepared, if the gifts are being presented, you bring your gift. You're just, it's such a subtle, simple shift to unite our inner life, our intentions, our hearts with what's happening on the altar.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Anne says, I go to Adoration on Sunday mornings and read all the readings there.
Honestly, Saturday mornings. That is so sweet. I love that.
Tiana, I can't wait to hear all about how your Mass experience goes this weekend. You can do it. I believe in you.
Honestly, the gospel alone, like, and I know we're kind of talking about the Mass in general, but I think what was really on our hearts to zoom in on, because it's so doable, is just pray with the gospel. You don't even have to worry about all of the readings. You don't need to have a commentary. Just pray with the words of the gospel. I mean, this Sunday is 7 verses. Pray with that. Really deeply enter into that. Allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate it. ponder it like Our Lady. Think about it. Marinate with it. Mm-hmm. Like, just give yourself over to those seven verses, you know? And that the seed in the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus says the seed is the word of God. The seed talked about in the parable of the sower is the word of God. And so we understand humanly, naturally, what seed does. It's planted, it grows roots, it pushes up through the soil, it grows, it blooms, and it bears fruit. Mm-hmm. That's the natural order of a seed that's been cultivated. But as we know from the parable of the sower, sometimes seed falls on rocky ground. Mm-hmm. Sometimes seed falls on the path. It's trampled underfoot. We want to give the seed access to the rich soil of our hearts. And we do that by welcoming the word, by reading it in advance, by thinking about it, by watering it. All of these are just analogies for staying with the word, prioritizing the word, praying with the word.
Yeah, I think also a way that we can do this is not doing it alone. So like,
that's so true.
All Steph. It takes is one other person.
That's it. Yes.
You don't need to go join a whole group. I mean, start one. That would be amazing. Start one here on the app, please. But don't be discouraged if just one other person. Like, I ended up texting a few of our staff members who weren't on the Bible study call. And I said, I still want to know your takeaways. Like,
oh, sweet.
I would love to hear, you know, and like, and just know that, like, I want you to read the word. And I want you to want me to read the word. Yes. So if I'm not ever there, I would love for someone to say, like, hey, would love to still hear your takeaway.
That how our takeaway from Bible study ended up on the Instagram
feed? Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just so good. Bible study was just so good.
So good.
Yeah. But like, look at the gift of like Aubrey's art. She wasn't even 100%. In that Bible study.
Yeah.
At the same time as we were. But like, when she cracked open the word, like she was able to produce something so beautifully. That was like on our hearts.
Yeah. So if you saw this image of a table turned over, this art that Aubrey created that's on the Blessed Is She Instagram feed, that is the fruit of our Bible study. I was just kind of imagining myself as actually one of the merchants and how, you know, it was just little things every day. Like, I asked for permission, like from the Pharisees, like, hey, could I sell? I'm like trying to provide for my family. Can I like set up shop up here instead? And the Pharisees are like, yeah, just like give us a little cut. And I'm like, that's fine. I'll just like raise the prices a bit. I'm like basically paying rent. These like little justifications, you know, little compromises. And I was even reflecting on like the beauty of the experience of the marketplace, like opening up shop every day. I've had my little cup of coffee and I'm like greeting the travelers as they come in. And sure, I'm like pushing out the Gentiles, but like, this is a good thing. And I'm building, I have this whole imaginative kind of like thought experiment of what it was like. And the reality, the thing that I kind of came to is like, this marketplace that we've all accepted as normal actually doesn't belong here, but it's been here so long and some good comes from it and I'm making it work. And in some ways it's serving me, but actually it does not belong here. And I was thinking, what is it in my life where have I set up shop? And actually this does not belong here. This does not honor God. This is not the right purpose for this. What have I allowed to take up residence in me that does not belong? I'm not just talking sin either. I'm talking about ways of thinking, belief systems that I have that like I'm making it work. And I've accepted that this is, these are Steph's word, this is business as usual. And like, it works. Why would we upset the apple cart? That's a saying people say.
Oh,
Have you ever heard that?
Never.
It's kind of an old, it's an old saying. What? Like, why rock the boat? Like, this works. This is business as usual. Like,
why reinvent the wheel?
That's it. Yeah, exactly. And Jesus is like, no, like, we're going to turn over these tables because actually this does not belong here. This actually doesn't even belong here. You've been making this work for long enough and it doesn't serve you. It actually hurts you. It hurts other people. So we're going to flip over these tables.
Yeah.
We're going to make some space. What are we making space for? For worship. That's what this space is for. That's what those temple courts are for. They were made for worship. And so if God comes in and overturns these tables in my life, it's to make room for me to love and worship him more.
Amen.
More freely.
Yeah.
More fully. Mm-hmm. Give me some space to breathe instead of my cramped, rickety old booth where I'm selling whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
no,
this
you.
Is not business as usual.
It's not.
And with the Lord, life with the Lord is not business as usual. Anyway, that's the fruit of our Bible study as a staff. I'm still praying about this. Like, where have I set up shop? Where am I making things work and actually crowding out worship in my life? Because I have my own little system. My own little way of providing for myself. I've set up a business to provide for myself. That'll preach.
Come on.
Yeah. I'm still praying about that. It's been like 6 days.
I'm still praying about it. Like, I'm still sitting with, what am I setting up shop in?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
that's weird. Why did that happen? Because we gave a thumbs up. Anyway, we thought just with the last few minutes, we'd love to do this with you. For the upcoming Sunday gospel. So grab your Bible. The gospel this Sunday, we're going to do the cycle B readings. We're not going to do the scrutiny readings. We're going to do the cycle B, like regular Lent readings. And that's the gospel of John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Do you want to read it, Steph?
Sure. Do you want me to do NRS this one or the NAB? What we're going to hear at Mass.
I mean, I guess the one we're going to hear at Mass. I just love our Bible.
I love our Bible.
And this is another thing we do. We repeat the gospel. So we read it once. We're quiet for a long time. And we're going to give you silence here. Mm-hmm. So please get out your Bible. Close your eyes. But use this some time of silence to enter in and reflect to pray with the word. And then usually we read it again.
Yeah.
Then we talk about it.
Share it here for those that are probably at work.
Then we read it again. Yeah.
All right.
We just soak in it.
Let's pray.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people prefer darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God.
So again, that link is there in the chat if you want to read it again for yourself or open up your Bible. We're going to give you a few minutes to pray with that. I'm going to read it again. A different translation, see if something different comes out for you. Is it 14?
Yeah.
13.
Oh.
Is it 13 or 14?
It's 14.
14. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I'm so curious what will come up for us on Thursday, having read this, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rachel says, lifted up was a polite way of referring to crucifixion. Mm. He was lifted up so we could be so we could be truly, positively, and compassionately lifted up through him.
Mm-hmm.
We all have sin, but when it is exposed, it can also be cleansed.
Yeah, this first line, for anyone who doesn't recognize the context, Moses lifted up the serpent. So there were serpents like sent to the camp of the Israelites in the desert who were grumbling, they were unbelieving, they were angry and not trusting God. And God sent serpents, and people were being bit by these serpents. And to prove to them, to show that he was the remedy, that he is God, there was a serpent wrapped around a staff and lifted up. I believe it was a bronze serpent, like became a bronze serpent. And anyone who looked upon that serpent wrapped around a staff was healed. Mm-hmm. And that was a foreshadowing of the crucifixion, that everyone who looks upon the Son of Man on the cross, lifted up, would be healed.
Do you love seeing that on ambulances?
Isn't it cool? Yeah, that's the sign for physicians, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, medical help. So cool.
I see confession in this, Cheryl says.
Cool,
those
Cheryl.
Who seek truth, bringing their sins to light.
Wow.
Evil, yes. In the dark, and believing and forgiveness is light.
Yeah. I love, as we press into this, to just make it personal. That's kind of that's where I'm always trying to position my heart when I read the gospel. So there's something in me that I liked, preferred the darkness. And I'm just like kind of thinking like, Lord, where do I prefer darkness? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was there with you, Beth.
Yeah, where am I preferring like, darkness to light?
Yeah, why is my default in some situations like the darkness?
This is it, hiding, yeah. Shrinking,
yeah. Hiding,
like,
yeah.
It. I mean, yes, sin too, but like there are places that I just prefer the darkness. Mm-hmm. Why is that, Lord? Illuminate that for me.
Yeah, wow. People have become accustomed
to
mystery.
That's it, yeah, where am I? Mm-hmm. Kind of like last Sunday, where am I setting up shop? Where am I making this work? Where am I just loving the darkness and like not living in the light?
And it doesn't necessarily mean sin. Like it doesn't mean you're hiding in sin. It just means you're not living this fully alive life.
Yeah.
Alive life.
Yeah, Lindsay, knowing that it takes work to come out of the darkness. Yes. And
I love that.
And we don't do that work alone. He's the light, and the light is coming into the world. The light comes to us even in the darkness.
Yeah, I love
that. So again, keeping it personal, though, where is Jesus, the light, coming to you in the places where you prefer darkness?
But also, you know, us going to the light. It says, whoever lives the truth comes to the light.
That's so good.
And I'm like, oh, there's parts, there's activity I got to do. There's participation for me.
Wow.
I need to walk to the light too.
Yeah. Can you pull up the gospel one more time? Sure. There was something I didn't go really anywhere with it all the way to the beginning.
Okay.
Sorry. Jesus said to Nicodemus. Obviously, I just read it out of the Bible. The first time around, I was really captured by the words eternal life and how we tend to think about eternal life as life after death. But if we have the Spirit of God, life himself, our source of life, the Spirit of life, the author and giver of life, God's life within us, which is grace, God's life within us when we receive the sacraments, this Zoe life, the divine life, we have eternal life now, and that eternal life colors and it's what we were talking about with Mass, like overlaying heaven and earth are now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Eternal life is now. It's not just like, ooh, we got to persevere. We got to push through to get to eternal life. No, eternal life starts now in my soul.
Yeah. That's, Beth, you got me fired up. That's one of my favorite scriptures ever. Like the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us.
Yeah.
Lives in us. It's not like is waiting for us.
Yeah.
No. It's here and now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
We're winding down, but I saw your comment, Cheryl. These are my favorite commentaries. Just when you have historical questions, you can get this as a whole Bible, the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible. Mm-hmm. I just have the individual books because they're like 15 years old. But you're asking about the bronze serpent. So I just want to look here and see if there's
anything.
Ooh, Jesus, the bridegroom. Now I'm distracted. Okay. The serpent, a reference to the episode in Numbers chapter 21, verses 4-9. Moses hoisted a bronze serpent upon a pole as a remedy for faithless Israel. Although God punished them with poisonous serpents, he promised to save everyone who looked to the bronze serpent in search of his mercy. Jesus sees this relic as an image of his own crucifixion and the healing it will bring to a rebellious world. Dude, be lifted up. Listen to this. A shorthand reference to the Paschal mystery when Jesus is lifted up on the cross from the grave and into heaven. Lifted up. I have chills for the into heaven part. Woo, that's good.
Let's not forget.
That's good.
Wow, wow, wow.
Erin, beautiful. That's for you. John 3:16 is your life verse. That's awesome. Isn't it so rich? We probably should have started this earlier because there's so much. But I'd love to just hear your takeaways from this Sunday's gospel. I feel the same way. I want to do this regularly on the app. We're going to revisit that, how we can do that.
Jen and I were having a similar conversation today.
Why is it doing happening? That? I don't know. Is it because my hand?
Because you do this.
I literally was like scratching and I thought I was doing that. Anyway, gals, love you. Love being in the Word with you. Love talking about Jesus. Love laughing with you.
Go tell someone about the gospel. Go talk about the gospel.
Amen.
One person. That's it.
Come to the light.
Come to the light.
Bring the light to others.
Amen. This was great. Love you guys.
So fun. Can't wait to hear your takeaways once we repost it and share it.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.